This evening, scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We'll read the first 12 verses. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What are we doing here, especially today, Valentine's Day, when why ashen crosses instead of chocolate hearts? Is Ash Wednesday important enough to be a priority? Is it even relevant nowadays? Is what we are doing today just one more archaic tradition of faith that it's time to relegate to the annals of bygone days or decades? I mean, this is Valentine's Day, the time to celebrate relationships and love, the time to express our affection and communicate our commitments, to think and talk about matters of the heart. What are we doing here? What is Ash Wednesday all about? In some sense, we have come to reflect on where the loyalties of our lives lie, to think about tangible ways in which our affection might be expressed and nurtured more mindfully and intentionally. We have come to remember the frailty of our lives in a way that inspires an appreciation of both the beauty and the opportunity held in each precious moment. We've come to speak about our commitment, to speak intimately and honestly about ways we might have failed, and share our intentions to foster a greater hope for our future. Doesn't that sound a lot like Valentine's Day? All except this is for God. Maybe we could even go so far to say that Ash Wednesday is a matter of the heart. With contrition of heart, we acknowledge where our walk with God has faltered. We will seek God's forgiveness and ponder spiritual disciplines which will express the devotion of our hearts and nurture our commitment to follow in the path of Christ. Ashen crosses will attest to the frailty of our bodies, but look with faith to the promise of our souls being renewed. Tonight, then, is a matter of the heart, purity of heart. As a matter of the heart, the intentions expressed tonight will continue to be our focus throughout the next 40 days of the Lenten season. The 40 days of Lent are a sacred journey through the wilderness, which means there will be moments of challenge. Even if we live in the middle of the suburbs or in the heart of the city, the wilderness becomes a metaphor for those places we need to wrestle and ultimately soften toward ourselves, bring lavish compassion to the things we struggle with, and listen for ancient wisdom to practice our way into a renewed way of being. This year, our Lenten study, we will be turning to to the ancient wisdom of the desert fathers and mothers as we let them be our guides. In the second and third centuries, the desert mothers and fathers sought out wilderness places for simplicity and to fast from their compulsions in service of cultivating greater love for the divine and for the world. They will prove to be true and worthy guides because of the commonality of our purpose with the one that led them into the deserts of Egypt, Syria, Palestine, and Arabia. What was the purpose and the end of their taking to the desert? The answer was given by Abba Moses, a hermit of Skeet. "We have come to the desert," he says, "to seek the kingdom of God. And the way to enter the kingdom of God is by achieving purity of heart." Thomas Merton suggests making a distinction between the immediate objective and the intended outcome as we think about the purpose of the desert fathers and mothers. The distinction helps us look beyond their peculiar and sometimes disturbing ways of life and see the bigger picture of what they hope to achieve by their practices. It will also be a distinction that enables us to focus on the outcome of our spiritual transformation rather than getting hung up on the particular Lenten spiritual disciplines. To remember the why of the what. Merton likens the practices of the desert fathers and mothers to a farmer clearing and plowing the ground, while their ultimate purpose, purity of heart, he likens to the farmer's harvest. The same is true of the spiritual disciplines we might practice during Lent and beyond. When it comes to something like purity of heart, we can quickly lose a grasp on what it is or even our ability to assess our progress toward it. It's helpful then to focus on something we can grasp. Repeatedly, every day, developing a familiarity with particular spiritual disciplines, remembering all the while that God sees and knows our intentions rather than our achievements, our commitment to a path rather than our arrival at a determined and identified destination. Still, Abba Moses says, in every discipline, a particular target is paramount. That is, an endpoint for the soul, a constant intention for the mind, for no one will be able to reach the objective of a desired goal unless they keep this target in focus with complete attentiveness and perseverance. The desert fathers and mothers give us a target to focus on throughout the Lenten season. What they were seeking by taking to the desert and what we are seeking in our Lenten discipline is purity of heart. And for them, purity of heart was equated with perfect charity or love. Hence, purity of heart is not mere external acts of renunciation and emptying one's hands. Purity of heart means no jealousy, no vanity, no pride, no rivalry, anger, selfishness, no rejoicing in the evil that befalls others, not thinking evil thoughts of them. All of this is to offer a pure heart to God. The sayings of the desert fathers and mothers were an oral tradition. The pattern of conversation was that a disciple would say to the Abba or the Amma, "Give us a word," or "What shall we do?" The response of the Abbas and Ammas were characterized by succinct and simple wisdom. As we begin our Lenten journey this Ash Wednesday, trusting in the wisdom of the desert fathers and mothers to guide us, we find ourselves asking, what shall we do? What is good for us? In response, the Abbas and Ammas might say, everything that helps us gain purity of heart. We might ask, well, what is bad for us? The Abbas and Ammas might say, everything that prevents us from purifying our hearts. They might say, You see, it's just a matter of the heart, purity of heart. Amen.